because I know we have a tendency. There's certain things we can take and retain and remember easily. Some things, they may just fade away, either through not recalling to remembrance or just allowing other things to continue to bombard us or invade our minds and push certain things to the back. But if you have your Bibles, turn them to Isaiah chapter 48. Excuse me. I will share this because it's all about the goodness and the glory of God. We're taking care of some business and all, and so we had to have our home appraised. And so the appraiser came out, and he's very cordial and all, and he looked at the house and all, and then he told us how he would come up with his numbers and all, and those were things we were aware of anyways, but he shared it with us. And so then when we got the report came back, and the report was like the same as what it was when we got the place. And so it wasn't a dissatisfaction. It was just that, and understanding how the market has gone up and down and all, it was just that, it was just that. And so anyways, I'm talking to the gentleman that we're working with, and, you know, I share with him, he shares with me, he's like, he thought it would come back higher. And I said, yeah. And I said, you know, I said, even Zillow, you know, had a higher price than that. So then he said, well, you know, I can check with the agent and see what she says and see if she has anything out there. And if she does, we'll run it to him. But, you know, normally in these cases, they just leave it at that. So, you know, but it's worth, I said, yeah, do that. And so in the meantime of him doing the business thing, we do the prayer thing. Amen. We go up. Praise God. Just tell your neighbor to go up. Glory. Well, the Bible says in this passage that God teaches us to profit. Amen. And I gave you the Hebrew word for the word profit. It's in verse 17. The Hebrew word for prophet, and it means to ascend. And so when God says he teaches us to profit, yes, it has its benefit as far as increasing value. It has its benefits and as far as increasing our wealth or our resources and things along that lines. Everybody likes a profit. But even in the New Covenant, Paul, in talking to Timothy, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Everybody say profitable. 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 Now, you might have been at a loss before coming to Jesus, and all of us were. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We needed him for salvation. But salvation is not just giving us eternal life. That happens. That's the ultimate. That's the goal. We have our fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life, Paul says to the church at Rome. But the thing of it is that God gives us benefits for now. Even King David said, we believe it's King David in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who healeth all thine diseases. Now, when do you think your diseases need healing? Anybody, everybody, somebody, come back quick to me. Come back quick to me. Come back quick to me. Now, yeah, we need our healing now. We won't need our healing in our glorified body. We won't need our healing once we die and, you know, this physical body dies and then our spirit goes on to be with Jesus. We won't need it with our new body, if you will, the body that is made in heaven, the body that is incorruptible and undefiled and is reserved or held there for us. That body doesn't need healing. So we need our healing now. So when David says, forget not all his benefits, who healeth all thine diseases, we're supposed to believe God for healing of any sickness or disease that comes to our body. God said this. He says, if you will obey me, I will command a blessing on your bread and your water, and I will take sickness out of your midst. Those are the promises of God. Well, why is it that some people don't get healed? I can't answer that. in the sense that I don't know what their situation is. We just know what the Word of God says. And we know that even in the Bible, and we know that even with Jesus, the manifestation of healing, if you will, Jesus, there were some people that he couldn't heal because of their unbelief. People were too familiar with him. Oh, that's Mary's boy. Oh, that's Joseph's boy. Don't we know him? Don't we know their sisters? And they looked down upon him instead of looking up to him for who he was. He had healing in his hands. He could speak the word, and healing would go forth out of his mouth. And so it's like people didn't get healed during his, because he would go some places and, you know, he couldn't heal everybody because of their unbelief. But there were places that he would go where everybody got healed. Everybody. When he was in that house and the disciples were there with him and a crowd so packed that people couldn't get to the house, when he was there in that house, some men who had a friend that was sick, even to the point of dying, if you will, he was sick. He couldn't walk. They had to carry him on a stretcher. His friends knew where Jesus was, and they took their friend to Jesus. And when they could not get in because of the crowd or the throng, if you will, they went up on the roof, and the roof was covered. But they tore up the man's roof, however it was, whether it was patches or what, whatever it was. They took it up and they lowered that man right. They had radar. You know how it is fishing, you know, and you got that radar thing, that fish finder, if you will. I mean, they had Jesus finder, because the scripture says they lowered the man right there by Jesus, so much so that Jesus looked up and he saw their faith. It's like, man, these guys believe. And the first thing he says, your sins are forgiven you. Who can forgive sins? Who can forgive sins? Who can forgive? This man thinks he's God. Okay, well, since you think that was something, that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, so that you know I have power to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk. Get on up out of here. And so the thing of it is that he could heal. He had healing in him. And so anyways, David said, coming back, that bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He heals all thine diseases. Forget not his benefits, because they benefit us all. All of us can receive from the Lord. There's not a single person in here who is disqualified. The only way you're disqualified is if you have no relationship with him, or you rebel against him to the point to where he can't do anything with you. And if that was the case, you wouldn't even be sitting in these seats tonight. Obviously, God can do something with you. And so, you know, your name is on the roll. You're in the line. Blessing and favor is coming your way. Healing and virtue is coming your way. Deliverance is coming your way. Whatever you have need of, it's coming your way. So God teaches us to profit, to benefit. The scriptures teach us to benefit. So they add value. But this particular word, he's teaching us to go up. And we need to, because we got to go before the throne. We got to go before God. We got to come higher than the status quo. We can't settle for religion. We can't settle for, and please don't think that I'm belittling. I'm not trying to anyways. It could sound like it, but I'm not trying to belittle the way people think. But we're so conditioned religiously that we can't even recognize the true, the genuine, and the real. And when the true and genuine and the real shows up, it's just like with Jesus. It's like foreign to many people, because we don't do what is traditionally established for people to do. But it's the will of God. And so God teaches us to profit, to go up, because he wants us to see everything from his perspective. It's going up in his word. It's not taking it just for face value. It's not taking it just for the fact that I have a Bible. No, I read my Bible. I eat from my Bible. I feed my spirit from the Bible, if you will. I'm not just reading it just to store up knowledge so I can quote scriptures to people and impress them by my knowledge. I'm taking this in so that I know how to live. I want to know how to live the life that God has called me to live. Because so many, and it's not trying to put people down or anything like that, but just as I was saying earlier, to conclude that sentence, when people say, oh, I pray all the time. okay. That's a good thing. But are there results from the prayers that are being prayed? And how is it that you pray? Because you'd be amazed, especially some of you who've been seasoned in prayer, not putting anybody down or anything like that, but you just really bought into the things of God. You've either been raised up in a prophetic ministry or you've become a part of a prophetic ministry. And so it hits your spirit. It takes over and it comes forth out of you. And you start talking to God, not like he way up there, way over yonder, and not like you don't know what his will is, but you start praying his will because you know what his will is. And people are like, whoa. Wow, did you hear that prayer? Wow. Wow. You know, that sort of, and they become impressed with that. We shouldn't even get all big-headed like, yeah, I could pray type of thing. It's like, that's how we talk to Daddy. This is how we communicate with him. He teaches us to prophet. He teaches us to go up, going up in prayer, going up in worship. He teaches us to go up to the place where he is, to do things from his perspective here on earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be in as it is in, we want to see God's will done down here, not ours. And so if we go on living as if, you know, God is way up there and we here on earth and God don't know what it's like being here on earth. Yes, he does. That's why he sent Jesus. Jesus knows exactly how it is here on earth. But he wasn't here in our times. Things are bad. Things were bad back then in his day and time too. So much so that they crucified him and nailed him to the cross. Yes, it was the plan of God. But look at how gruesome it was for the way that they did it to him. And they thought, even the religious people, even those who he came through them, if you will, because he was a Jew, he was of the tribe of Judah, if you will. He was of one of the 12 tribes. So he came through the Jews. It's through the Jews that we got Jesus. Jesus' salvation itself is of the Jews. It comes through them. And so they were threatened by him, and they had him crucified. They had a chance to let him go free, but they said, no, crucify him. And their voices were louder than the voices that were saying, don't crucify him, please. He's Savior. He's Jesus. He's our Lord. He came to die for our sins. Nobody stood up and said, but he's the Messiah. No, they let him go ahead and run the course with what they did. So it was a horrific death and all. But Dad teaches us to prosper. He teaches us to go up. Amen? He teaches us to ascend, if you will. And so in that, not only do we see things from God's perspective, I know sometimes it might sound like you're just way off in another distant land, but it's like, no, it's getting way off in kingdom land. Yeah, because our ways are not God's ways and our thoughts are not God's thoughts. But we have it here, and we must get it here. And it's not getting here just for the sake of just storing up knowledge. We're not here to try and be theologians. We're here to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're here to represent and reflect heaven here on earth. Man, it pains me to see so many people bound by stuff that they don't need to be bound by. Christ has set us free. Enjoy the freedom. Remember I shared with you that example, that analogy. The individual said, you know, they just don't know how to live free now. Because the stuff that they're trying to eradicate, that stuff is not going to be eradicated because it's sin. It's just like you're going to eradicate homosexuality. No, it's been around since the beginning of time. I'm not saying that it's justified. It is wrong. It is erroneous. It was erroneous then. It was sin then. And it's sin now. The biggest mistake people made was to put that on the same platform of civil rights. That was the biggest, I'm talking about, man, that was a doozy. They just put themselves back 150 years, if you will, by doing so. And many of them are starting to regret it. But it's kind of late now because they've already let that thing go. But anyways, you know, men, women are going to fornicate. They're going to commit adultery. They're going to lie. They're going to cheat. They're going to steal. Because it's the sinful nature of man. The only thing that stops that is the saving blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's only one Savior. There's only one Lord. And so you're going to always have these things. You got to live above that stuff and don't get caught up in the rat race of it. I was talking to one of my spiritual sons just this past Saturday. I said, look, people, if they, even if they call you, whatever name they might call, don't define you. That's not who you are. Don't get all bent out of shape like, they call me that, and you're ready to fight and stuff. It's like, no, they look like the bigger fool than you do. So don't go and justify their words by behaving in a manner that's going to, you know, take you away from who you are. Be who you are in Christ Jesus. Rise above this stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, you can rise above it. You can rise above the opposition. You can rise above the hatred, the anger, the bitterness, the jealousy, anything and everything that plagues humanity. We can rise above. Dad teaches us to profit. He teaches us to go up. He teaches us to ascend. He teaches us to live on a higher level. That higher level is kingdom level, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Not because the conditions are good. The conditions can be good and you're enjoying it. The conditions can be horrible and you're enjoying it. Well, how do you know that? That don't even sound like, that sound like something from out of this world. It is. It's not of this world. It's of the kingdom of God. This is why Jesus, Isaiah could prophesy it somewhere between 650, 800 years before it happens. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He could prophesy as a lamb led to the slaughter before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. And what did he do when he was before those men that were getting ready to kill him? He didn't open his mouth. He didn't issue no railing accusation against them. When they came to capture him in the garden, and Peter stood to his defense and took off that sword that he had on his belt and went at that person's head and cut off his ear, what did Jesus say? Put your sword away. And then went and healed that man, put his ear back on him. It's like, this is the way it has to go. This is the way it has to be. Why didn't he fight? Jesus is like, I can call a legion of angels right now and they'll wipe everybody out if I want to. But this is the way it goes. I'm not of this world. I'm of the kingdom. It is not my will, but thy will be done. Yeah. We live like that every day. Why? That's how our Savior lived. And always remember this. If you fight your battles, God don't have to. And so, coming back to the appraisal, praise God, glory. Coming back to the appraisal, Sonny said, yeah, they don't do this. So, I talked to him. I said, okay, you go ahead, you contact. So, then I talked to the agent, and I'm talking to her, and she says, yeah, I have this one. And so, she sent it to me and sent it to him, and he sent it to the people. And between the time he released it to them, we're going up. And so, I tell the Lord a number. A number that I believe in him for. And so a couple of days go by. Pastor Henry, good news. Praise God. He said, it's this number. I said, man, I'm like, Justin, that's great news. That's the number I asked my father for. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Bragging on him, not bragging on me. Pastor Lucia, we just love God. And he's worth everything. Hallelujah. He gives us that place richly to enjoy, but not to make an idol. And it's a nice place. I ain't bragging or boasting on us, but it's a nice place. And we enjoy it. We're thankful every day that we wake up in that place and we walk upstairs, downstairs, outside, inside, and stuff like that. We enjoy it to the glory of God. And the thing of it is that if we start worshiping that thing or start, you know, now I can't do this. We ain't robbed God. We have not robbed God. Or you know what I mean by that? We dare not take away. That it's in honoring God with the tithes and the offerings and the seed sowing that manifests things like this. And so we're not going to stop doing that. No, he gave it. He'll take care of it. But we're going to continue to obey God and what he's called us to do. Amen. You're not going to go broke by tithing. You're going to go broke by robbing. I'm sad. He teaches us to what? Profit. And to profit is to ascend. To profit also is to be valuable. And so, as I said Sunday, the higher we go, the more valuable we become to him. Because in going higher, if you understand what I mean, it involves transformation. I mean, the old passes away. How many of you want that? I mean, Jesus, Peter, I'm Jesus, Peter, Paul. Jesus, Peter, Paul. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You heard me say that time and time again. I'm going to keep on saying it because we're new. Old things pass away. Don't you want old stuff to pass away? You don't want to keep battling the same old stuff. And I'm going to tell you, it's not the easiest thing to do because we're so acclimated to the natural things. And then when you have a whole bunch of people doing the same thing, it becomes easier for you to do the same thing too. Well, everybody else is doing it that way. You know, everybody does church a different way. But just because everybody does it a certain way, it doesn't nullify God's way. We want our lives to be as close as we possibly can to the scriptures, that the scriptures are coming alive in us, and that we are, as Paul said, that living epistle. We are the word incarnate, that people can see what a true believer is all about. None of this other fake facade stuff or pretend stuff or this weak stuff. What do I mean by weak stuff? Well, you know, God knows he knows my heart, and he knows I'm just weak. I'm just weak. Stop confessing that. We had an individual that we were trying to minister to on Monday night, but the individual kept rehearsing a certain thing, and I understand the reality of it. But it's like, you know, it's like we give over to that stuff. We give that stuff power and prominence in our lives. And it's like, no, give the word power and prominence in our lives. Start confessing it to the living reality till, you know, what you read and what you're eating and what you're digesting becomes a living reality for you. Let the word break out. Hallelujah. Let it overthrow, dethrone, let it push down, pull out, pluck up, and destroy the mess so that we can live in the glory of the good stuff of God. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are new. Let the newness come up. Praise God. We don't want no more weeds. We want some fruit. Yeah. Stand to your feet. Sister Maria's leaving, so we got to go home. Got you. I'm just being funny. Just being funny. I love you. It was a good one. It was a good one. And it's a good opportunity to quit. But some good things have happened. And we give God all the glory. I'll share another with you in the thing that we, because that was a good thing. And our brother, my siblings, our brother, they were saying some things about, you know, he owed money. And so we had to sell some property, and they had liens on it. And so anyways, you know, we had to, you know, things kind of came to a halt, not to a screeching halt, but just had to investigate those things and get them taken care of. One of them we had to take care of. The other one came back, and it's like nothing owed. And so in the timing as well, my sister, she wanted to, Minister D, she's not here tonight, but she wanted to make certain that his portion, because he's in a care facility, that his portion doesn't get devoured by the facility or the county in contributing to take care of him. And so it's like, well, I got this appointment, and I'm being truthful with you. I got this appointment, and you know, it's at this time, and so if we can delay, and I'm like, you know. We put it out there. They gave us more. They offered us more than what we asked for. This person is not going to want to postpone things. He wants to take care of things. And so it was true. That was a true statement. However, when it came time for that first point of closing to take place, the owner steps, oh, not the owner, but the future owner, the buyer steps up and says, can we hold this off just until a few days? And so I'm being the lead, they communicate through me, and I'm like communicating to them, you know, they were patient with us to get these done. I think we should offer them the lease, you know, the same, what do you say, same type of, same treatment, for lack of better words. It was another word that I used. And so they all agreed. And then came the text, ooh, that works out for me. That was Minister D. Because the day that it closed was the day after she met with the attorney to take care of my brother's affairs, so they can't just come in and take, but his is protected. I'm like, praise God. It's just like both the and I'm saying this, and I'm really stopping this time. This is the last stop that I stop at. When Justin was saying to me, they normally don't do this. And then Nancy said, they normally don't do this. And that's the mouth of two or three, so a truth is established, if you will. They normally don't do this. But when they came back, they were like, he was like, good news. I'm like, great news. And Nancy was like, wow, they don't do this. And it's like, favor. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. That's why he's worth everything. Own nothing. Possess all things. Give him the glory for everything. So, okay, I got to let you go. But it feels good right now. It's not feeling good because good things are happening, because we can be this way even when things aren't happening, or we could be this way when things are happening for others. It's just like, Sister Gabby, I know I haven't told you in about 2 weeks, but did I tell you I was so proud of you guys? You know, I'm still so proud of you. I'm still so proud of you. Are you guys getting ready to move in soon? Not soon? Okay. Well, we'll talk about that later. But we got baby's coming, baby's forming. Yeah, Sister Gabby's pregnant, and I'm so excited for them. Amen. What am I saying? I'm rejoicing and celebrating in others' victories and in others' breakthroughs and in others', you know, blessings. And it's just how we ought to be with each other. Be excited when you see God moving on their behalf, because God is going to move on your behalf too. All right, stand to your feet. Praise God. I just wanted to make you smile before we close. Father, thank you. Thank you for each and everyone that was here tonight. Bless them. See them safely to their destination. Let no evil befall them. No plague come near them. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come their way. But guide them safely. I pray the Lord be with you. He bless the works of your hands. He cover you in his precious blood. Prosper you in every area of your life. Profit you and teach you to profit, to ascend and to go higher and to be valuable in his eyesight and in his possession, that you are not a loss, but you're a gain to the kingdom. You're an asset to the kingdom for the glory of God. Be blessed as you go. We'll see you Sunday, if not sooner. Amen.
Love you, dear.